when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Okay, welcome back, good people, to the second hour of the Saturday, September 16th, 2023 edition of the Blood River Radio program. And I have joining me today Mark Tomey, structural engineer, and Sister Braveheart Monica Schaefer, who has said, at least to some extent, that the bringing down of those towers, the events of 9/11, prompted her awakening. And we're going to bring Sister Nancy in probably at the bottom of this hour. And then later at 5 o'clock, we'll bring in the bitter ender, Brother Gene Andrews. But without further delay, we're going to go right back to Sister Monica. And if you got any more questions for Mark, just let y'all just continue that discussion, Sister Monica.
Thank you. Just before the end of the first hour, I was asking the question, were there repercussions, like economic pressure, political pressure, any kinds of pressures on either you, Mark, or any of the other engineers or architects who signed on with Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth? It's just a little, question, because... I've had some repercussions for the things I've talked about. So I just thought, oh, maybe you had repercussions too, because, you know, the family member who was really arguing all this with me, who says, oh, well, you know, we can't even, let's leave it to the experts. And okay, I'm pointing out the experts, AE 9/11 Truth. And he says, oh, that's just such a tiny, tiny minority of all the architects and engineers. So really you can't take them seriously. Now, do you kind of feel insulted by that? Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Monica, I do. And during the break, just out of curiosity, I went to AE 9/11 Truth's website, and they say they've had 1,700 people sign on as members of AE 9/11 Truth since they started. And I'll happily confess that I was probably one of the first ones to sign up with them after that organization was created, and have been following what they've been doing for all these years now.
I don't mean to interrupt, but is that the one created by Richard Gage?
It is. And when I was talking to Eddie the other day, when he invited me onto the show, he mentioned to me that the board of directors of AE 9/11 Truth just recently removed Richard Gage as the head of the organization. So to answer your question, Monica, that right there is probably some political pressure being brought to bear after all this time. As for myself personally, I haven't experienced any of it. But besides the political pressure, there's also a very important societal pressure that I think a lot of people feel, whether they're engineers or not, to not step outside the official narrative, because it makes them look, there's the threat that all of your friends and family and neighbors will consider you a tinfoil hat conspiracy theory type person. And so it could possibly diminish your standing, with your peers within your social circle and stuff like that. So I'm more inclined to think that is the main reason why more people, more engineers especially, haven't jumped on the 9/11 Truth bandwagon up to this point, is more the threat of that than it is from actual political or economic pressure being brought directly to bear by people or organizations, you know, that want to maintain the government's fairy tale about all this.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that, that there's always the social pressure. And I have a lot of experience with that, with this thing called ritual defamation. And these are all the tools that are used by those who are waging war against us with these lies and deceptions and whatnot. And then, you know, what these trigger, like the war on terror, like you were pointing out. They have to have their narrative going on. And I'm really happy to hear that you personally have not had those like pushback or economic hardship or losing jobs because of it. But I would suspect that there are others who did suffer consequences for it. So it's going to be different from one person to the next. But there are huge societal pressures to go along with the official line. Go ahead.
And I agree with you, Monica. I don't doubt that there are a number of cases out there where engineers who have been very vocal and about their opposition to the official government story and that kind of thing have had pressure brought to bear on them. I just don't know of any myself. You know, I haven't heard of any. But you know, to get back to the idea of proportion that your relative was talking about, you know, oh, well, it's only 1,700 engineers and architects out of all the architects that practice and engineers who practice in the USA. Well, you know, my answer to that would be, well, hey, if I had 10 engineers in a room and nine of them said water runs uphill and one guy said, no, water runs downhill, just because nine of them say it runs uphill doesn't make it true.
Yeah, it's a popularity contest, right?
Exactly. You know, so just because they got a group of guys together to say that it happened this away doesn't necessarily mean that it happened that away.
It's a rather unscientific, isn't it?
Yeah, at the end of the day, it is. It's a lot of conjecture, and of course, they like to throw a lot of NIST committee who did all the created the report about the collapse. You know, they like to throw all kinds of high powered technical terms out there that most of the public are going to hear. It's going to make their eyes roll back in their head because they don't understand what it all means. And they do a lot. They talk a lot about, oh, computer simulations and, you know, we modeled this and we modeled that. Well, you know, hey, look, I use computer software to make my living every day. And I'll tell you, I can be one of the first people to tell you that you can make a computer program tell you anything you want it to tell you if you give it the right parameters to give you the answer you want. There's a difference between forcing it to give you the answer you want versus doing an impartial and technically accurate analysis of the situation and then being willing to admit to the objective facts that are presenting themselves to you. And as I said earlier, I'm convinced in my own mind that the engineers who were involved in the 9/11 Commission report were pressured into writing a report that reached the conclusions that the powers that be wanted them to reach. That's not how engineering is supposed to be practiced.
Who knows, there might have been a lot of money exchange, or maybe they happen to be part of the tribe who is waging war against us. Who knows? I mean, there's a lot of corruption.
Exactly. Or as I mentioned earlier, threats against their family. They could have very well gotten a visit from some very nasty looking people who said, you know, if you don't toe the line, you know, here's pictures of your children getting picked up at school by your wife, you know, or here's your wife at the grocery store shopping, or here's a picture of y'all having a picnic in your backyard. You know, you wouldn't want anything bad to happen to the people you love now, would you?
Yeah.
You know, and the U.S. government has agencies that do that kind of thing all the time, you know.
Yeah.
So is it so far-fetched? You know, is it really a tinfoil hat conspiracy to think that that there are people within the U.S. government who would stoop to those kinds of tactics to make things turn out the way they want it to? Of course it's not.
Yeah, that's right. Here's another clue. Very early on, You know, as soon as people start talking about 9/11 truth, those people, first of all, they took that word truth. It's a wonderful word that means truth. And they even twisted that and made it something negative and, you know, said, oh, you're a 9/11 truther, in such a tone that made it a really bad thing. And then they conflated that term with a bunch of other very weaponized labels. And one of them was, well, first of all, they said, oh, anti-Semite, you're an anti-Semite. And I thought, oh, what does free fall, you know, at the falling down of a building have to do with anti-Semitism? And then another one would be, oh, conspiracy theorist, which is a term that was coined by the CIA after too many people figured out the assassination of JFK. There were some lies in that report, the official report. And then this is a big one here. Oh, that's just like Holocaust denial. That was Michael Chertoff who said that on radio, right? Oh, that's people who doubt about the true story of 9/11 truth, or the true story about 9/11, their story. Oh, that's just like Holocaust denial, which was really kind of funny because, he linked two big events together. My brother made a video out of it and something in the title with, oh, reverse engineering 9/11 to figure out, you know, the lies of the Holocaust, that kind of thing. But, you know, why did Michael Chertoff say, oh, that's just like Holocaust denial? I mean, they're linking things together that, oh, they know something we don't know. Is that correct? But I do hear the music.
We'll come back to that.
It's probably a certain percentage of structural engineers that didn't want to get involved with the general public. They don't want to be labeled not patriotic.
Right.
Anyway, we'll be right back.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing, and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Tell you something, boy, if I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. We're going to get right back to Sister Monica and Brother Mark Toomey with this really intriguing review of the event of 9/11 22 years ago or so. We're going to go right back to them. Go ahead, Miss Monica. I know you might have had a couple more questions or comments from Lamar.
Yeah, thanks, Ren. So just to tie it into the present, and sometimes people might wonder, well, why are we going over things that happened a long time ago. I mean, well, 22 years, that's not that long ago, but we are still suffering the consequences of 9/11. As Mark already mentioned, you know, the homeland security and all these measures that were put into place after 9/11, that's directly related. And also the war on terror that is still going on. And also, I want to bring another matter into this conversation, and it has direct relation to the German people who are, they always seem to have to pay for everything. Now, there is this company, an insurance company in Munich, and it's called Munich Re, and it is a large insurance company that reinsures other insurance companies. And guess what? They are on the hook for Lucky Larry's insurance scam. He took, that was Larry Silverstein. He took out a insurance policy on the World Trade Center that he had just purchased. And this was weeks before that fateful event. And he took out an insurance policy that included terrorist attack. And then he got double because there were quote unquote two terrorist attacks, you know, one building and then the next building. So he's a really lucky guy, the guy who had breakfast every single day in the top floor, but that day he happened to have a dermatologist appointment. Oh, the poor dear, isn't that, you know, lucky him. And then he gets rich. But anyway, so the German people are paying for this, and Alfred, in between his former jail time and now he's in jail again, but he had to go see a parole officer once a month, and he brought stuff to them. He didn't just go like a meek sheep and say, okay, what should I do now? Now here I am, hello. No, he brought them information, and so he basically was making them responsible, so that now you have the knowledge, you have to do something, you are responsible, you are my go-to person for the, you know, the government, the German authorities. So this is how he would talk to these parole officers, and he brought them all the evidence and the documentation they would need to show them, just a few blocks away from where he was seeing them in Munich, Germany, was this Munich Re company, and they were on the hook for this scam of an insurance fraud. So this is the current aftermath, you know, not just the war on terror and the domestic policies, which is, you know, police state, and Canada has its share too of this as a direct result of 9/11. And then there's the paying out. And why is it always the German people on the hook to pay and pay and pay? Over to you, Mark.
Yeah, well, you know, Monica, I've wondered about those kind of things myself, you know, and you're absolutely right. The aftermath of the effects of 9/11 are still very much with us today, and are probably going to stay with us for some time to come. You know, barring enough people finally waking up, and as I've liked to say many times over the years in some of my speeches, when they can finally wipe all that star-spangled fairy dust out of their eyes and see the U.S. empire for what it really is, and then remove their allegiance from it, you know, but until enough people reach that point, you know, we're going to be stuck with the after effects of this. I mean, you know, for me personally, I mean, I've only gotten on an airplane, I think maybe four times, since 2011, because I absolutely refuse to, submit myself to the denigration and the humiliation of going through the Gestapo checkpoints at the airports.
Yeah, you mean like 2000, since 2001, I think is what you meant, right?
Since 2001. Since 2001. Because I don't want to have to take half my clothes off and, you know, be patted down and, you know, have all my stuff scanned and x-rayed and pilfered through and everything else. And you know, so with only a handful of exceptions, because I've had to travel, you know, a long way across the country in a short period of time for a business meeting or something, you know, I don't fly because I'm not going to subject myself to that. But yet you go to the airport and there's the good, you know, and I use the term Gestapo on purpose because, you know, in most people's minds since World War II, anything Nazi has been elevated to the point of being the ultimate boogeyman in all of recorded history. And so, okay, well, I'll play that game. You know, I'm going to call the TSA the Gestapo, because that's what they are. You know, they're the state secret police. You know, they're the ones who harass you and violate your rights for no good reason at all. And same with all the other stuff, too. You know, as I mentioned earlier, I'm sure that a recording of this radio show is going to be housed on one of those computers out there in Salt Lake City, Utah. You know, and some NSA agent or agents are going to be poring over it, looking for keywords and, you know, trying to figure out whether Mark Tommy and Monica Schaefer present a threat to national security and all this other kind of crap. And
I'm already on their radar, so I don't worry about it anymore.
I'm sure we all are, but I got a question I want to throw out there, and y'all can comment on it. But let's ask ourselves, who had the most to gain from those buildings falling and coming down? You know,
motive. Who benefits? And in fact, they didn't some Israeli prime minister say that it was very good for Israel?
I mean, other than Larry Silverstein, I mean, who had the most to gain? I mean, you got Dick Cheney. This is the military complex. Remember, Dick Cheney said that, well, this is we're going into a 100-year war. A 100-year war. We've been in it 22 years now. Or was it to increase, like Mark was just talking about, the surveillance state being checked and all that we have to do when you go through airports anyway. But anyway, in y'all's opinion, and I'm sure it could be multiple answers, but who did have the most to gain by those buildings falling?
Well,
Mark. I already put my 2 cents in.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Monica has already answered part of the question in that it was Larry Silverstein, the guy who bought the World Trade Center property just a short period of time before all this happened. And then, you know, just happened to take out insurance policies that specifically covered terrorist acts, which most insurance policies don't, you know, they don't cover things like that. You know, for example, you know, life insurance policies. Well, if you get killed going to war, you know, fighting in a war, your life insurance policy is null and void and that kind of thing. So how is it that he was able to get insurance to cover an event like that?
Here's a clue. He had a Sunday, every Sunday he had a phone call with his really good friend, and that was the Prime Minister of Israel at the time. Now, was it Sharon who was the Prime Minister at that time in 2001 of Israel? I think it was. And
I don't really know for sure, but you know, by the same token, you know, I've seen different articles and things that I've read over the years that talk about U.S.-Israeli relations, and there have been a number of instances where the Israeli government leaders, in their more honest moments, have been caught saying all kinds of things about, to not put too fine a point on it, that how much the United States is Israel's bitch, to put it bluntly.
That's right.
And if they do, you know, that U.S. policy is for the most part set to align with the interests of the Israelis. So, and I mean, you know, look at the composition of the U.S. federal government, especially in the higher echelon positions, even under that Make America Great Again Donald Trump guy. He had more Jews in his cabinet and in other positions in his administration than any other president we've had up to this point, I think. You know, his own daughter converted from Christianity to Judaism because she married a Jewish guy. And so, you know, the fact that, and, you know, and every time Benjamin Netanyahu or whoever their prime minister, you know, comes over here, they bow and scrape and kiss the ring, you know, so, or maybe another part of his anatomy, as the case may be.
By the way, you mentioned Benjamin Netanyahu. He's coming to Silicon Valley to meet with the Musk, the guy that took over Twitter. I guess he's gonna come in and try to give him his marching orders or whatever. But anyway,
or he's gonna make sure they don't allow any anti-Semitic comments on their platform.
Yeah. Hang on, everybody. We'll be right back and continue this discussion.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm John Schaefer. On the second day of the UAW strike, discussions are underway between United Auto Workers and Ford and GM. Striking union members, including this UAW worker in Toledo, are advocating for improved pay and pension benefits.
We need more money. I mean, we've gone years without a raise. You know, we want our fair share. And that's what we're looking for, our fair share. You know, for everybody, not just for me, but for everybody that works here.
Negotiations, which paused on Friday, have resumed with both GM and Ford expressing their commitment. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton has been cleared of all charges and will retain his office. State senators deliberated on 16 articles of impeachment, ultimately acquitting him.
This judgment will be filed with the Secretary of State, and Attorney General Warren Kenneth Paxton Jr. is hereby, at this moment, reinstated to office.
That's Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick. To remove Paxton from office, he would have needed to have been convicted on just one of the articles. The accusations revolved around alleged misuse of his office to assist a political donor. Jason Carter, the grandson of former President Jimmy Carter and Rosalynn Carter, shared that the couple is in the final phase of their lives. He mentioned they are together at home, which he believes is an ideal situation for them at this stage. Earlier this year, the former president entered hospice care, and Rosalynn Carter was diagnosed with dementia. Jimmy Carter will turn 99 on October 1st. Kansas has stopped altering transgender individuals' birth certificates to align with their gender identities. The state health department's announcement Friday is based on a recent law asserting that the state is not obliged to acknowledge the gender of transgender individuals. Republican State Attorney General Chris Kobach clarified that the law not only bars future alterations, but also mandates the reversal of any prior changes made to official records. And today marks Mexico's Independence Day. This is USA News.
Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes? Are you being audited or investigated? Has the IRS sent you a letter demanding payment? You may not owe what they claim. Make this free call to the Tax Doctor now. Let them negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Call 800-215-2418, 800-215-2418, 800-215-2418.
Meet Joe A,
hi.
Joe B,
hello.
And Joe C.
What's up?
Three everyday Joes perfecting their banking with Chase. Joe A is locking his lost debit card with the Chase mobile app. Joe B is cruising toward his new ride with AutoSave. And Joe C's Chase banker is helping him budget to go back to school. Tools that help protect. Support for what's next. One bank that puts you in control. Visit chase.com/checking. Chase. Make more of what's yours.
Chase Mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Messaging and data rates may apply. J.P. Morgan Chase Bank, N.A. member FDIC.
In the morning. Smells like victory.
Some folks are born, made to wave the flag.
So welcome back to all our Blood River Radio listeners out there and supporters. We're glad that you're hanging in there with us. We've got Sister Monica Braveheart Schaefer on with Brother Mark Toomey, and they have been reviewing the events of 9/11. Very interested. I've learned a lot. And I'm just glad to be involved here in the capacity that I am. And without further ado, honestly, y'all, I don't know exactly where we were when we left. So every which one of y'all want to take the rein, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I just was checking there. It was indeed Ariel Sharon who was the prime minister in 2001. And before him, Ehud Barak. Now, this is very interesting because Ehud Barak just happened to be in London when the 9/11 attacks happened, and he just happened to be right near the BBC studio. So within minutes of these towers coming down, he was in the BBC studio telling the world what we should know about 9/11. I mean, he was saying things like, oh, has the footprints of Osama bin Laden and all this, you know, he's telling us all kinds of things of the narrative that was to come. And yeah, well, I just think, wow, what a coincidence.
It was really funny too. And this is one of those news reports that only got broadcast once or twice, I think, before they pulled it. But there was a BBC reporterette there in New York who was talking about how they had just gotten word that World Trade Center building number 7 had just collapsed, and they were shooting the video of her standing against the windows of the building, and you could see World Trade Center 7 in the background still standing.
Indeed. Maybe they got their script slightly wrong.
Come on, folks. I mean, how blatantly obvious do the inconsistencies have to be before you start realizing that there's a rat lurking around in here somewhere? I mean, plenty.
Yeah. You know what I think, though? I think that a lot of people, maybe even more than 50% of the people of the United States and Canada, understand that they've lied to us about 9/11. And certainly a lot of people know that the government lied, but they often will say, oh, it was an inside job. But I like to retort that it was an outside job, i.e. that Israel and Israel's tentacles in the United States did this. Of course, their tentacles. I mean, there were all these dual citizens. Any Jew that is in the United States is actually a dual citizen of the United States and Israel. And haven't we also learned from Cynthia McKinney that every politician has to swear allegiance to Israel? Now, why do American politicians swear allegiance to Israel? Aren't they serving the Americans, or who are they serving? Why do they serve allegiance to somebody that does something like a 9/11 or a USS Liberty? Oh, they're America's best friend, are they?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, and there are a number of states. And I know for sure Texas is one of them because I have several clients in Texas and do a good bit of engineering work over there. And the state of Texas actually has a law that is part of all of the contracts that they undertake with contractors over there for public works projects and whatnot, that specifically says you can't say anything bad about the Israelis or anything like that, or else we can terminate your contract. And so, I mean, you know, these are the kind of things that should make the hair stand up on the back of the average person's neck. It's like, well, you know, why is it that we can't say anything bad about the Israeli government? You know, it's okay for us to say bad things about the Russians or the Chinese, and that doesn't cause us to lose our contract
or the Germans,
you know, everybody is
or the North Koreans.
Yeah.
But everybody's fair game except for the Israelis. And so, again, you know, why would a reasonable person not ask themselves the question, why is that? And as far as the war on terror goes, you know, I mean, so much hay was made out of the fact that all this terrorism comes out of the Middle East. It was Iraq. It was Syria. It's Afghanistan. It's, you know, it's all these different places that just happen to be around what other little country on the shore of the Mediterranean Sea over there? Oh, Israel. So guess what? The Israelis, you know, get the USA to foot the bill in blood and treasure to take care of their problems for them. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why, I've been using this term for quite a while now, and most people don't like it. But again, you know, the truth hurts.
Yeah.
When you really look at it for what it is, there's no other way that you can describe it.
Yeah.
Anybody who serves in the U.S. military is a mercenary. They're not a patriot. They're not defending the U.S. homeland from anybody. They're mercenaries for hire to do the bidding of the multinational corporations and the Israelis to advance their interests wherever they happen to be. And so, you know, I can't help but connect those dots, as you said, Monica, and wonder, hey, is this the reason why all of the tens of thousands of guys who thought they were doing their patriotic duty after 9/11 and went and volunteered for the Marines and the Navy and the Army and all this other kind of stuff and went to places like Iraq and Afghanistan and saw their buddies get killed and had all these horrible things happen to them? And while they were there, they actually, instead of the bullshit reasons that the U.S. government gave them for why they were over there doing what they were doing, they found out it was all to make money for Halliburton and whoever else is involved, the military-industrial complex. Could that be a reason why so many of them come back with PTSD and 22 of them a day are blowing their brains out because they can't deal with the evil, horrible mess they were forced into under false pretenses, and they just can't handle it anymore from a moral standpoint. And suicide seems to be an easy way, you know, a better way out than living with the horrible things they were made to do, all for a bunch of lies.
I think maybe you hit it right on the nail. Yes.
Yeah. You're not going to have anything.
I'm sorry. You know, Tucker Carlson, he said that really what turned the establishment against Trump was when he said in the presidential debate that there were no weapons of mass destruction, talking about Iraq, and they knew it. And he said they knew it. Tucker said that's what really turned.
It all turned out to be a lie. And, you know, so here again, you know, it's all a bunch of it's a colossal lie. And, you know, for my part, you know, I just can't give my consent to it anymore. As a matter of fact, I stopped giving my consent to it a long time ago. You know, I don't think of myself as an American. I think of myself as a Southerner. You know, I live in Alabama. I was born and raised in Arkansas. I've lived in Louisiana and Mississippi. You know, my people are the Southern people, and I'm a Southerner. You know, what is an American after all? According to the definition of the U.S. empire, basically what it boils down to is an American is any nondescript human being from anywhere in the world who just happens to, you know, take up residence here. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for me, the aspect of being a Southerner, that's something that's in my DNA. That's something that's in my blood. You know, I'm connected to a certain group of people by my genetic code. And so just anybody can't be a Southerner, just like anybody can't be a German,
that's,
you know,
right,
or a French or an Italian. It's something that you're born into. And this is the whole, you know, I'm a student of language and have been for years, and Latin is one of those languages. And you look at the root of the English word nation, and it comes from the Latin word natio, which means to be born. So that's why the American Indians referred to themselves as the Cherokee Nation or the Sioux Nation or the Navajo Nation. Is that's your race of people that you belong to. It's not some political entity floating around out in the ether. It's a real flesh and blood, a soil place on the face of the earth. That's your nation is your flesh and blood, and your country is the soil that your nation lives on. Mm-hmm. And by those definitions, which are the proper definitions, if you consult an Oxford English Dictionary and a Latin dictionary, the United States of America doesn't qualify as either a country or a nation. It's nothing but a political system. It's a political contract between independent countries, or what used to be independent countries. Now we're just political subdivisions of the great central government on the banks of the Potomac River.
Ran and controlled by a criminal cabal.
Exactly. And it's an organized criminal enterprise from top to bottom. You know, so don't wave that star-spangled rag in front of me and make me feel all patriotic. Because when I look at that thing, all I want to do is puke. Because of the evil it represents, and the way that it lords and masters over my people and keeps us from being free.
I hear the music.
Thank you,
Calvin.
For that. Thank you for that, yeah. Mark. That was just a really, really good little rant that you did. It was really good.
I get a little fired up every now and then.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Howdy, it's going to be the last segment of the second hour of the Blood River Radio program for this Saturday, September the 16th. I think that Big Sister Nancy has joined us now, but before we go to her, Miss Monica, I believe during the break you had something right on the tip of your tongue that you wanted to share, so just go ahead and take it away, Miss Monica.
Yeah, we always have such great discussions on the breaks. But anyway, that was such a good little talk that you gave, Mark, about the Southerners. And I want to tell you that the Southerners have been so lied about. And me, I'm living in Canada, so I grew up in Canada. And I don't know where it came from. Was it in school? Was it the media? Was it films? Maybe it was just all around us, just like the Holocaust lies. But the Germans were vilified, but so were the Southerners. Like, we kind of just grew up thinking, oh, they're very, you know, simple and just bunch of, I don't know what we thought. Just we did not have a good impression. They lied. They really lied about the Southerners. So it's just so great to hear, and I'm so happy always to be talking with Southerners on this radio show.
Well, I appreciate that, Monica. And I told your brother when I was on this program with him some time back that, you know, I feel like the Southern people and the German people share a very deep commonality in that regard. We've been made to be the boogeymen of our respective eras. For the South, it was the quote-unquote so-called Civil War and the horrors of slavery and all the other nonsense and falsehoods that they spew about why that war happened. And then it's been the same thing for the German people since World War II. You know, as I said earlier, you know, anything German it has been made to be equated with the ultimate evil, whatever that is, you know. The worst thing you can call somebody is another Adolf Hitler, you know, or something like that.
And I agree. And, you know, they've almost done powers to be in the enemy. They've almost demonized the St. Andrew's flag to the same extent of the swastika. You know, it's
right.
Exactly. The victors typically have to conduct that kind of a propaganda campaign to cover up their own sins. The historical record shows that if you want to compare the badness of one side versus the other, the scales are tipped way further in the direction of badness on the part of the so-called Union, the Northern states and whatnot. Look at what their armies did to Southern civilians and Southern towns when they were down here. The rapes, the pillaging, the burning of crops, the burning of homes, and the desecration of churches, and stealing people's valuables and their livestock and all this other kind of stuff. You know, we never did any of that. When Robert E. Lee's army marched into Pennsylvania for the Gettysburg campaign, they were under strict orders not to acquire any supplies they needed along the way unless they paid for them. And if they, mm-hmm. and if any,
right, right.
And General Lee's order specifically said that if anybody did anything other than that, that they would be held to account, you know, and punished properly. But that was standard operating procedure for the Union armies.
You know, that sounds very much like the Germans. Yeah. They also had very high code of ethics, and yet, been demonized and demonized and demonized. Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things that to go back to about the, Germany after the war, you know, I found out from people who've done the historical research, you know, we've all seen these quote unquote Holocaust films of these U.S. Army bulldozers scraping up corpses into these mass graves. And we've always been told, oh, those were the poor Jews that got killed in the gas chambers. No. Those were German POWs that Dwight Eisenhower purposely starved to death after the war was over.
Right. Yes, that's right. Yeah. The South and the Germans have a lot in common, actually. They're the most hated groups, but they have they've been lied to for decades.
And yeah, interestingly, during the truckers' convoy, one of the when they all arrived in Ottawa, there were provocateurs. These were agents provocateur to give a good media moment. They had the swastika flag, and guess which other flag they had?
The
it was the
flag.
Confederate flag. And these were portrayed as just the most evil, evil, evil symbols.
Oh, of course.
You see, so there you are. These connections are right there.
Yeah.
Mark and Monica, I've got a couple little comments about 9/11 and RAND, a couple little things that you all didn't mention. Although I do, my idea is this is nothing. It was nothing but a Jewish insurance scam. That's all it was, of a Jewish insurance scam, with the kind of results that the bigwigs wanted with reference to attacking these poor little backward countries that we could run over in the Middle East on behalf of Israel. But, you know, a couple of things that I remember, these so-called terrorists with these little pocket knives or whatever they had, were supposed to be Saudi Arabians. Now, Saudi Arabians at the time were supposed to be our allies. We did not go to war with Saudi Arabia. In fact, the Saudi Arabians even proved that these passports on some of these so-called terrorists, that they were still alive. These were fake passports.
Right.
And then the thing that really gets me and should wake up the people who are a little bit awake is, how can you have a gigantic fire going on at the top of the building with an enclosed airplane, and yet an unburned passport just happens to appear on the ground?
Yes.
That should be another thing. And another thing that really gets me is Trump was totally wrong. Of course, Trump is a big Jew lover, but Trump was totally wrong, and he should know the facts. When he was running for president in 2016, he said that the Arabs were dancing at the time of the 9/11, that they were celebrating, when it was, he should have known, I'm sure he knew, they were Israelis who our government let them escape back to get back to the safety of Israel.
Mm,
yeah. Good point.
Yep. It's all corruption and debauchery from top to bottom. And, you know, like so many other things, whether it's John Kennedy's assassination or the war in Vietnam or Pearl Harbor or 9/11, you know, it's very doubtful, unfortunately, that on this side of heaven we'll ever know what the truth is, because the powers that be who affected all of these things are going to do their utmost to keep it covered up, and to make sure that everybody toes the line for the official narrative and so forth. But
yeah,
you know,
you mean officially acknowledge the truth, because many people have investigated and do know.
Yes. Thank you for that clarification.
Yeah,
there'll be
the
no
official
of the truth.
Right.
While
the perpetrators are in charge, we will not have it officially told to us what happened, because the perpetrators are still in charge of the governments, and that would be
of course.
Jews.
They have to maintain the illusion in order to hold on to their power, you know. And so it's all a vicious cycle, you know. But again, in my mind, you know, the bottom line of the whole thing is that it's all an organized evil enterprise on the part of the U.S. Empire and its lackeys, whoever those may be.
But just to add to that, it's run by, I mean, wasn't it Ariel Sharon who also said, don't worry, you say, oh, the Americans will do this or the Americans will do that when we do this or that. And don't worry, that we, the Jews, control America and the Americans know it. So when we talk about American empire, we have to be clear that it is being run and controlled by Jews. And you did mention it earlier, Mark, like all the Jews that are in the administrations, like under Trump and under Biden now, it's like especially bad. Like, I think, I don't know, it must be 97% of them are Jews. And let's look at who were the Bolsheviks, like going back 100 years in this Russia, then the Soviet Union. Mm-hmm. Well, who was running all that and then was responsible for the death of, you know, could be 100 million people? That was 97% or so Jewish, and you know, they had a few non-Jews in there, but so that should be made very clear who that is behind these things. But Nancy, that was good that you pointed out that the dancing Israelis, they even went on Israeli television and said why they were there. Oh, to document the event. That takes pre-knowledge, like they takes knowledge beforehand if you're going to go document the event.
Here's the other thing that here's the other thing about all this that people need to keep in mind too, and it, I'll preface it with an old saying: "He who pays the piper calls the tune." And so, which is another way of saying of whoever pays for and finances all of this stuff is the one who gets their way. Mm-hmm. Well, who controls international banking and finance and has for three centuries? The Jewish Rothschild family and all of their acolytes, you know. The Federal Reserve System is not a part of the U.S. government. It is a privately held Jewish banking corporation that the U.S. government borrows money from and then pays back with interest by fleecing all of us for taxes. So the people who loan the money to the U.S. government are going to be the ones who tell them, this is what your policy is going to be, or else we'll cut the money off. You know, so there's nothing that particularly difficult to figure out about most of these things. As we mentioned almost at the start of the show, Monica, you know, a person of average intelligence with a certain amount of life experience can exercise some common sense and come to some fairly reasonable and sound general conclusions about why things are the way they are. It's not rocket science. It's not that hard to figure out. You know, there's all these math behind the scenes, and you know, a good friend of mine likes to call it the Wizard of Oz and use the Wizard of Oz analogy. You know, the president and Congress and the Supreme Court, they're the big semi-transparent head floating up in the air with all the smoke and fire belching around it to distract your attention from the guy behind the curtain who's really pulling the levers.
Very good. That, I like that analogy. That's great.
And the guy behind the curtain is the Federal Reserve System, the International Monetary Fund, and the state of Israel. You know, you can't make it any simpler.
Yeah. I hear the music, Mark. Mark, we're gonna probably let you slide, Mark, brother. You've been great as always. One thing I like about you is the way you lay it out there, whether it's on the radio or whether it's in a speech. So glad that you was able to join us. I'm sure you'll be back soon, brother. You take care of yourself. And I'll see you down the road. And everybody else, we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Thanks. Been a pleasure.
Thank you, Mark.